A shock resignation from the boss of Barclays. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. London-based Barclays Bank announced today Jes Staley has agreed to step away from his role as director and chief executive. It comes after regulators led a preliminary investigation into how Mr. Staley described his relationship with the late convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Mr. Staley, the bank said, intends to contest the probe's conclusions, though it didn't reveal any findings he saw or was aware of any of Epstein's alleged crimes. The BBC's Darshini David explains what we know about the investigations so far.
Well, what we know is that Jes Staley was the head of JP Morgan's private bank in 2000, which means he has to wine and dine all the wealthy clients, of course. And one of those was Jeffrey Epstein. So we know the two men did have a relationship. We know that emails pertaining to that relationship were handed over to UK regulators, and they've been investigating basically the nature of that relationship. What is unclear is whether or not the regulator is comfortable with the way that Mr. Staley has characterised that relationship.
And basically, it's because Mr. Staley characterises his relationship as professional, but perhaps regulators may think it may go a little bit beyond that.
The lines may be blurred. We're not exactly sure, as I say, of what the details might be. But we do know, for example, that Mr. Staley visited Mr. Epstein at least once after his conviction. In fact, he went to his private island. But we don't know whether or not the relationship strayed past 2015, which is when Mr. Staley took over at Barclays.
So what is the succession plan from here?
The man called Mr. Venkatakrishnan, who is the head of global markets, will be taking over. He, like Mr. Staley, came from JP Morgan, and he has been in training for the top job. But what has taken everyone by surprise is the timing, because Mr. Staley had indicated earlier this year that he saw himself as having a couple more years. You know, within the last few days, he's been unveiling future plans for the bank. But really, Barclays is at pains to say, look, there may be a new man in the chair, but this is someone who has the same kind of strategy. Don't expect to see a huge change in direction.
The BBC's Darshini David for us. Thanks for breaking this down.
Thank you.
Well, Barclays shares are clawing back some of their early losses from this morning. They fell as much as 3.9% on that news. European benchmarks are up in the 0.3% to 0.8% range. The Nikkei in Japan closed up 2.5% today after the nation's prime minister thanked voters for handing the governing party a bigger-than-expected majority in Sunday's parliamentary poll. To Australia now, where for the first time in more than 18 months, fully vaccinated citizens are allowed to fly home from abroad without needing to quarantine. The BBC's Shaima Khalil has more on that story.
Many travellers were overcome with emotion. Some have travelled back to attend family weddings.
There were scenes from Love Actually, amazing emotional scenes, which was just phenomenal.
That's Alan Joyce, the CEO of Qantas, Australia's national carrier. He says the company plans to have all 22,000 of its staff back at work full-time in the first week of December. That timing is important because summer school vacation in Australia kicks off in January. By then, Mr. Joyce expects domestic flights will be back to 100% of pre-COVID levels. But internationally, it will take longer.
Because not every country is opening up at the same rate. The vaccine coverage isn't the same everywhere. For the third quarter for us, which is January, February, March, we'll be back to 40 to 50% of our pre-COVID schedule. And then for the last quarter, we're back to around 70% of our pre-COVID schedule.
When it comes to the future of travel and particularly pre-travel testing, the Qantas boss thinks countries need to think carefully, especially when...
You're coming from locations that have similar rates of COVID. You're coming from destinations where you're only carrying vaccinated people. So your risk is low. So why have some of these protections in the long term?
So far, the states of New South Wales, where Sydney is the capital city, Victoria, and the Australian Capital Territory, have reopened their international borders. Queensland, South Australia, and Tasmania plan to ease restrictions on overseas travel before Christmas. But Western Australia has yet to announce its timeline to reopen. In Sydney, I'm the BBC's Shaima Khalil for Marketplace.
Formal discussions get underway at the UN Climate Summit today, and more than 100 world leaders have been urged to rise to the challenge of combating rising global temperatures. Notably absent, though, is Chinese President Xi Jinping, who will address the meeting only by a written statement. And the BBC's Roger Harabin explains even those in attendance will face their own set of challenges post-conference.
None of the world leaders turning up in Glasgow wants to be labelled the one who wrecked the climate. But they're all bound by the constraints of their own political economy. Boris Johnson's proclaiming messages some will consider apocalyptic, but scientists will judge to be plain fact. President Biden can't get climate measures through a Congress influenced by the fossil fuel lobby. China, whose president Xi won't be in Glasgow, is expanding renewables, but his nation's suffering from power cuts and it's piling on the coal. By the end of the fortnight here, we may see a bundle of carbon-cutting policies that can be passed off as a success. But in reality, a year of floods, fires and record temperatures has shown that the climate is already experiencing dangerous overheating. It will need much more than versions of business as usual to protect the planet.
That's Roger Harabin reporting there. Finally, it's November 1st, but publishers of the Oxford English Dictionary have already chosen their word for the year. It's vax, short for vaccine, and was first used more than 200 years ago. Use of the shortened form spiked in 2021 for various reasons, and it's based on more than 14 billion words used in daily news sources. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.